The best in regional sports from Southeast Michigan. WLEN HD2 W243 AD Adrian 96.5 The Cave.
That song, you know it's time for Saints Sports Weekly right here on 96.5 The Cave every Monday evening at 6 p.m. I'm John Roberts. I'll be your co-host tonight. Coach Fred Smith will be joining us in just a few seconds. He was delayed in traffic, and he might be walking in right now. There he is, Coach Smith. Good to see you, Coach. Tonight we're going to be focusing on the men's soccer program. And we have Coach Drew Crawford in to the cave with us tonight. Welcome, Coach. And he has brought along with him one of his players, Lewis Crombie. Welcome, Lewis. So good to have you here tonight. And we are focusing, as we said, on men's soccer. And if you're a fan of men's soccer at the collegiate level, you might be wondering, well, their season's in the fall. Why are they here today? And they're here because they just got done with their spring program. And, Coach, we'll let you talk a little bit about how the spring session went and how you ended it. We talked a little bit before the show.
Yeah, I think, we had a very good spring. It's nice to see what the younger players can do, because that's the first time when we don't have our seniors with us. So it's a good opportunity for the younger guys to step up and prove what they can do. And for the first time, the captains talked me into having a little round robin tournament within the team, which they enjoyed. We called it the Halo Cup. We ended up with a game against Findlay, D2 school, very good. That always gives us a good game.
Well, and it's nice to get a game, a scrimmage, whatever you want to call it, in there, because it does let you see that it's kind of like a final exam for the guys coming through that spring session, where they get to put the things they've been working on in drills and practices and in your inner squad games, kind of against some to test themselves against somebody other than the guys that they're on the same team with.
Yeah, for sure. And they're excited to play every time. So, it's a great barometer for me as a coach to see them against a good team, kind of get an idea for the fall who's where, at least, 5 months away from where
sure.
we need to be. But then, we can also, for them, it's a great way for them to finish out the year and, play somebody other than themselves in practice and things like that. And we did do it very well. We ended up losing 2-0 with a couple of late goals to the varsity team, and then the reserves tied 0-0. So two very competitive games.
It's good to hear.
Coach, this is Fred. It's always good to see you. And you talked about this new concept called
the Halo Cup.
So we, Coach Robertson and I, are getting pretty good at this because we did women's soccer last week. So,
yes.
It was, we're in the rhythm of fall to winter or fall to spring right to fall. And so my question is, how many kids did you have to work with then without the seniors this spring?
I think we had about 28 players when they were all there and healthy. So they split into teams. We did this, the small-sided games. And I actually stole the idea from Scooter, being his assistant for 6 years, and they had done it. So the guys really were like, oh, we need to do it, and I finally relented.
Yeah, and as we find out as coaches, all of us here, anything that your players are excited about makes practice excited. So what did you do? You had three teams, or how many teams?
So we had four teams. They played a round robin tournament, so everybody played each other once. And then we did semifinals and finals. And both semifinal games actually went to penalties. So it was, you know, tied after regulation. And so the captains did a great job of picking even teams. And, you know, it made it, I think, more exciting and fun for the players.
So, you know, what time frame did you do all this? When did you start your spring workouts? And I'm sure you just got done. So how long did you go?
We started playing outdoors near the end of February, and then through, you know, all of March and into the first week of April. We played usually one game a day, but because of weather, we had to push a couple games. So we played two games in one day, and then we did the finals and semifinals on the same day, again, because of weather and guys trying to get ready for the Findlay game, because we played those on the last practice before we played Findlay.
Yeah, and it's always difficult. Sometimes March is better in February. February is better in April. You never know, right?
You never know. Spring in Michigan.
In spring. But it sounds like you tried to go often if the weather was good.
Yeah, we were training twice a week. The last week before we played Findlay, we went three times, and it rained on us, it hailed on us, it did pretty much everything. February was beautiful, you know, in the first week of March, it was 60, 65 right. degrees, it felt like, and then we got into April, and it was 30 degrees and rainy.
Right, and that's where we can never predict that. So let's, if we have a second, could we just take a second to kind of review your season from last year? I'm going right down to our favorite website here, you know, because I remember when we had you on earlier, we started off, you know, you always play a rigorous non-conference schedule. I mean, you guys, man, you don't mess around. And I think it gets your team ready. And if I remember right, you finished round 500, you got into the playoffs, I think, but you had a scoring, probably 2 or 3 week, you had trouble scoring. So talk about your season just for our audience in retrospect.
Yeah, like you said, excuse me, we do play a very tough non-conference schedule, because I do want them to be ready for our conference, which I think is one of the toughest ones in the country for the NAIA from top to bottom. And we played a lot of road games. We had one home game during the entire non-conference schedule. So it'll flip this year, which will be great.
Right, you have home this year, right?
Yeah, so it'll be nice to have that. But yeah, we got into the conference play and we were playing well. Again, tough conference. We dropped 5 points that I think we probably should have not dropped. We lost to Rochester in a game that we didn't play well. And then we completely outplayed U of M Dearborn. Outshot them, I think, 26-6. Shots on goal were like 14-1, and we tied 1-1. So it was just one of those games. And, you know, we ended up in eighth place. We ended up beating Cleary on the very last game of the season to qualify for the playoffs, and then lost to a tough Aquinas team at their place in a very even game. But we couldn't score when we had the opportunities. But overall, I was pleased with the way we played. Just those two games that I thought were, you know, we probably should have got a better result. But other than that, I was pretty pleased with the way we played all year long.
Two things here, Coach. First off, just for our audience, when you do standings, as you see, soccer's kind of somewhat like, I liken it to hockey. If you ever look at NHL, you do the standings, but the points are the important thing. If I remember right, it's for every result, there's 3 points for a win and one for a tie, right?
Correct.
And the NAIA, we play no more overtime, which, you know, I've missed that somewhere, but I've been
so
gone for
shootouts now, settles
no,
games? Or
no.
Just a tie?
Just yeah, a
tie.
Just a tie okay. For the regular season, which I'm a fan of. I didn't like the overtime from a lot of different standpoints, but if you're an underdog and you can play 90 minutes and have a tie, you shouldn't be penalized to play an extra 20 minutes and maybe you give up a goal and lose 1-0 and then you get 0 points out of it. So again, from that standpoint, from a purist standpoint, I like that much better.
Yeah, and in the old days, boy, that always played havoc with our schedule, and all of a sudden we had overtime and we were trying to get soccer, football, everything in it one day. I remember we go, oh, my goodness. But in looking at your record, getting back to that, you're right. You were 7-8-3 overall, and those two would have put you above 500. But as we look ahead, you know, what are you thinking this year? I mean, about your team, and are you think we'll be better? Yeah, what do you think we have to do to get up to the, you know, upper middle of the pack of the WAC?
Well, the young guys have to play well, and I think we have the talent for sure returning to do it. We are going to be losing quite a few of our starters from last year, especially in the midfield and our starting goalkeeper. So those are going to be big shoes to fill. But again, we have the talent that can do it, and I believe the class that I have coming in is going to be very talented, and I think four or five of those guys are going to really push others for starting spots on the varsity level. I'm excited for what, you know, how we played in the spring without our seniors and with who we have coming in the fall, and I think we'll be very competitive. The problem is that we get better, and then so does everybody else. So,
sure.
You know, trying to close those gaps is difficult, but I would say we were somewhere in the third to sixth as far as talent last year. There were a couple teams that were just really, really good last year, but I think we're very, very close.
So we're looking at what? Is there 11 to play soccer in our league? Is it?
13 now with 13. Defiance.
Oh, we're ahead. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yes.
So you're basically going to have 12 matches and only six non-conference matches, right?
Correct, yeah.
Right. How many seniors did we lose?
We've got one coming back on his
right.
fifth year for the COVID, but I believe 14 total
That's
players.
That's awesome. I mean,
I think 11
not awesome,
seniors.
But that, you know, the 14 kids are finishing their education.
Right.
I mean, that's what I mean by awesome. It's certainly always hard to lose that many players, but congratulations there, Coach. That says a lot right there.
Well, and in this day and age, as the college landscape changes and kids are way more fluid in where they can go and what they can do, to have 14 kids in a class is, I think, a testament to the program and how much they value it.
You know, John, one of the things as we've met with Coach Crawford over the last few years is that he has one of the most diverse programs at Siena, a very mixed international and American squad. I don't know how else to put it. You know,
sure.
And very
players play from coming from overseas.
Over everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and part of that, I think, is from his background, too, where he came to Siena, as you know or don't know. He's in our Hall of Fame. Maybe him or Sammy are our two greatest ever soccer players, you know. So to have Coach back, he's brought our program, you know, right, back in contention, so to speak. But as you look forward here to this year, talk about some of the players that you're going to really, hopefully, you'll take on that leadership role for you.
Yeah, so, I've been lucky in my 6 years that I've had great upperclassmen starting from my very first year. And it's not going to be any different next year. Our four captains, Josh Vernier, who will be in the midfield, Nolan Chappett, who will be a defender, Guillerme Damasio, who was actually a transfer last year, plays center back for us, did a really great job. And then Gustavo Lira, also a transfer that came in for us and plays up front. And they all have their different styles of leadership. Some are very quiet and some are very vocal, which I like the mix. And they all had, I allow the players to pick the captains. I allow them to choose who they think should be. And they were all four of them were very high up and had separated themselves from the others. So, they're very well respected by their teammates. And, with that leadership and obviously they're quality people and quality players, I think that's going to really carry us, because I think we'll hit the ground running. They're all upperclassmen, they've been around. They've been around the program. Josh, it'll be his fifth year. So, I think in the fall, the expectations are going to be high, but also they're going to set, what the bar is going to look like.
You know, Coach, as you talk about, you know, your hopes for your squad, you know, it just as a fellow coach here and having the 1 year, a lot of home games in the other year, we always would try to rectify it, and we always had to be the one doing the rectifying. In other words, maybe we'd have to go, but I would just suggest, you know, those six games, if you go close to 3-3, it makes it a little easier for your guys, because you're right, last year you guys were on the road and battled some tough opponents. It made you tough, you know, but it's, you know, somehow it's hard, you know, to get going on the road. So who are some of the teams you plan on keeping up the rivalry with out of conference?
Well, this year, obviously, we're going to play Adrian. St. Mary of the Woods is coming to play
Indiana.
Us. Yep, we played them last year. A very competitive game. Olivet Naz is going to come to us. We visited them last year over Labor Day, both those teams. So that's going to be, you know, very good competition. We're playing Kalamazoo for the first time this year, so we'll see what they're going to be like. That's one of our few road games. But again, yeah, I love seeing, you know, new teams, so I try to refresh every couple years and do a home and away with those schools over the 2 years, just so the guys get to see different teams, and they're not, we already have to play the same teams in conference every year, so, you know, I want to switch it up for them, and so they can go to different places and see different places, and you know, and the level of competition is always going to be pretty good.
So in looking toward your team, is your staff going to be pretty much the same next year?
Yeah, well, Ted Hanisch is returning, and he'll have more time since we were talking earlier, he's retiring from teaching, so that'll be a great great thing to have him more full-time. And then Willem Weisheimer, who was an ex-player, works in the admissions department, would help out when he could. And then Andrew Kozan, who was our goalkeeper coach, GA, and also had played for me, he's going to try to get down and help as much as he can. So we'll be pretty much the same staff as what we've had, maybe in, you know, different time commitments, but same faces.
Boy, just you and Ted have worked together, been together so long, and just having him around, though, certainly what he's done at the high school over the years, he's been the face of soccer in his community. But it'll be great to have him around. It's only going to help our program. And is his old one boy done at Finley? Or did you have a chance to play against him?
Yeah, so we've played against him, Mitchell, quite a few times. So we play Finley every fall and every spring as a scrimmage. And he's got 1 year left because of the COVID, so we had to still play against him, unfortunately. But yeah, like you said, with Ted, him and I have known each other since 1987, good friend, but also somebody that I trust, you know, that we can bounce ideas off of, and I know that I'm getting correct information from him. So if we have to split up with the groups, I know what he's telling me from what happened is exactly, he sees the game the same way I do. And, you know, we think of the important things are important to both of us, you know, the little things. So, you know, we're, I think, a great combination, and he's been a great addition to my staff.
And, you know, I know Ted, as we talked before the show, having worked with him for a lot of years at the high school, and I know he's very passionate about the sport of soccer and very knowledgeable. I think one of the things that I always admired about Ted is, you know, he's very low key for the most part, but boy, sometimes you see the fire come out in him in a game. And you know, it was always kind of, I would chuckle because he was one of the quietest guys I felt like in the hallways at school working, you know. And but boy, you get him out on the soccer field and those competitive juices get going. And it was always fun to watch. And you know, I enjoyed him coaching my daughter when she was in high school as well. So all right, we'll take a quick time out here, and when we come back, we'll be talking more men's soccer right here on Saints Sports Weekly.
Getting the kids to practice on time, remembering if it's your day to bring snacks, making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Hi, this is Marty Nine with Iyett Insurance in Blissfield. Give me a call at 517-486-4381.
At Lenawee Community Mental Health Authority, Children's Services provides evidence-based therapeutic interventions such as parent management training, the organ model, trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, also known as EMDR, and infant mental health. To access our services or utilize our 24/7 crisis line, please call 517-263-8905 or visit us at lcmha.org.
Here's a great driving tip. Avoid muddy, dirty roads, roads under construction, or really just anything that can make your vehicle dirty. Plain and simple. But if you can't, you must never avoid Magic Fountain Auto Wash. At Magic Fountain Auto Wash, you can save your vehicle from all the damage from that dirt and grime. Why allow the Michigan roads the chance to reduce the value of your vehicle when it can be prevented? Magic Fountain Auto Wash, with self-serve bays and touchless drive-thru, 3 locations in Adrian, Hudson, and Britton. Make dirty cars a thing of the past.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu.
And welcome back to 96.5 The Cave, listening on the air, 965thecave.com on the internet. This is Saint Sports Weekly. I'm John Roberts, along with Coach Fred Smith. And we have Coach Drew Crawford in here with the men's soccer program tonight. And we're also going to go with one of his players here, Lewis Crombie, who is a sophomore from Dumfries, Scotland. Did I say that right?
Yep, that was pretty good.
All right. Dumfries, Scotland, and a product of St. Joseph's College. And that was your high school.
Yeah.
Collegiate school. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe the hometown you grew up in and why you chose Siena and what you're studying there.
I grew up in Dumfries, as you said. I've been there pretty much my whole life. Parents are actually both English. Mm. They both moved when they were younger. I think 12, 13, both of them around that age, they moved there. So they've been there since then. And it's a small town, but everyone sort of knows each other, especially from playing soccer. I've kind of got to know a lot of guys. I've been on a couple different teams. I did a year in England. I played there with an adults team when I turned 16. It's just been kind of traveling around nearby there until I found out about here.
So what part of Scotland is Dumfries in?
It's southwest, so it's just where I'm from actually is 45-50 minutes from the English like border.
Right, okay.
So it's pretty close to.
So how'd you hear about Siena Heights, or did you, it was coming to the States something you always wanted to do?
Not until my last year of high school. I'd always been into various different sports. I ran a lot of track.
So you did other sports?
Yeah. So I ran a lot of track when I was younger. My dad was big on his track. He always was kind of into that when I was younger, growing up with him, and I would just go with him. But a lot of my buddies were playing soccer, so I wanted to try that too. So from a young age, I'd been doing both. And not until my senior year of high school did I decide, kind of, why not try going overseas, try something different. And at first, I wanted to do a track, kind of scholarship somewhere. I'd made times for that. But I kind of got with an agency at home, and they gather footage, put it all together, and I don't know exactly how it works. They kind of do a lot of it, but I guess they put it out to coaches, and Drew got in touch with me, and pretty much from the first time I spoke to him, I kind of knew that's where I wanted to go.
Let's go back to your track. And what event were you, a distance runner, middle distance runner?
I started just wanting to run sprints.
Sprints?
Just when I was younger. But as I got a bit older, I started running fours, 800s.
Right. Middle distance.
So I competed at the national championships when I was in high school. And that was when, because of the age I was, I think I was 16. I ran a 300 meters. That's just how they had it. There was no 400 meter.
Right.
I medaled. I got bronze.
Nice.
So that was pretty good. And honestly, after that, that's kind of when my soccer took off. So that kind of, sometimes I look back and I think I could have really stuck at it, but I'd always enjoyed soccer more. But I was good at both. But yeah, after that, I started playing a lot more soccer. My track sort of dwindled out kind of, but I can still run. I'm pretty sure of that.
Well, obviously an important skill on the soccer pitch as well as being able to run.
Yeah, but I just like having a team around me. I know track, you have a team, but it's a lot based on how you perform. I like having the guys kind of backing me up if I don't have the best game. But yeah, it's nice. I enjoy both.
You know, in the old days, and I'm saying old days back when Coach played, and when I first became AD, we might have had 20, 30 two-sport athletes, all right, not including our cross-country track, you know, which were – and now we have very, very few because of what we talked about first segment, mostly is the off-season commitment, right?
Yeah.
And I know I waste a lot of people's time on these telling old stories, but this is a true story that we had a young man in the early 2000s who was a tremendous player. He's an attorney now, Andrew Power. Andy was a Plymouth kid that played JV basketball for us.
Mm.
He was a great player at Plymouth Canton, and Salem, and he wouldn't start basketball till soccer was over. Right, this kid was so good that by his junior and senior year, he played on two teams and went to nationals as a backup point guard, and always missed the first four or five games. You know?
Wow,
that's how good he was. But it was. We were flexible enough to do that then. You know what I mean? Now it's just harder, not so much from us coaches because of the expectations of the kids. You know, they're not used to doubling up and they just don't do it as much. But getting back to that, that had to help your endurance in that. So what position – we're going to get back to your recruitment a little bit in a minute, but what position did you play for the Saints?
So when I came in, kind of freshman year, I played mostly, I'd say, kind of on the wing. Recently, I've sort of played more central as a forward, but I enjoy playing both. And honestly, anywhere in the attack, I enjoy.
So you said you hit it off with Coach pretty good, and Coach could probably, we could do a show on this, Coach, on these agencies or how, you know, because Coach has, as you know, our team is very diverse, you know, and we could give you the numbers and all that. We've done it all the time. It's amazing. But, you know, that recruitment is a whole lot different, you know. But you said you hit it off with Coach, but academically, what were you thinking? I know, hey, I want to play some soccer. What were you thinking of what you wanted to study when you came to Siena?
Well, honestly, before I'd come over, academically, that was kind of my main priority.
Gotcha.
Like, my main priority was to come over, obviously play some good level soccer, meet a lot of new people, experience new things, but my main thing was to come out of it with a degree. So at home, I'd applied in Scotland for universities there, obviously in case I didn't receive anything from here, just a backup plan. So at home, I'd applied civil and environmental engineering. And when I spoke to Drew, he mentioned that Siena offered an environmental engineering program, which is actually the one I'm 2 years into that now. Yeah.
That's so awesome. You know, I guess I shouldn't put my bias on you because I was one of those guys that the sports really led me to college, you know, sorry about that. I don't mean that. So, what was, when you came over, what was some of the major adjustments you had to being in Adrian, Michigan, a two-McDonald town, a small town?
Yep.
And how did it go for you? Just talk about that for you a little bit.
So, well, the when I came over, so my visa was quite late on being accepted. So as soon as that was kind of accepted, I think we moved in the 8th or 9th of August, my freshman year. And my visa got accepted, I think, like the 6th or the 7th.
Wow.
So I'd booked a flight straight away, just me and my dad. We came over, ended up getting stuck in D.C. One of our flights got canceled. We had to be rerouted to there. Then that one got canceled. We ended up in Chicago. And then they managed to get us Chicago to Detroit. So it was crazy, kind of jumping around. It was cool, but it was pretty tiring. Got here, and the first thing I did was obviously I pulled in, went and looked at the stadium, and then it was move-in day. And yeah, Adrian's, it's honestly pretty similar. Like, not similar, it, obviously the U.S. is very different to at home, but the kind of size of the town, small town, kind of everyone knows of each other, kind of thing. That's quite similar, which I like the kind of smaller feel. I definitely like the smaller kind of college, smaller classes as well, which was a big thing for me. So yeah, it took a bit of adjusting. The time difference from home is a big thing. Trying to,
is that about 5 hours?
Yeah, so they're 5 hours ahead. So just trying to talk to my parents each day when I can, just to keep them happy. You know how it, you know how it is. You don't want,
well, they miss you, I'm sure.
But yeah, no, it's been really good. I settled in really well. Found a really good group of guys on the team, and I've enjoyed every minute, honestly.
You know, practice and playing wise, how, what type of adjustments did you have?
Practice, obviously, we come in the fall. It's very warm for me.
Right.
Some of the guys from Brazil, Panama, it's not it's normal for them, but the heat in the summer is a lot for me. And coming in, we did 2 a days, Monday to Friday, and then most weekends we'd have something on the weekend. We play the alumni game. And as you guys said before, we have a pretty tough kind of preseason before the conference actually starts. So it was pretty intense for me, but I enjoy it. Like, I like to come in shape, ready. Maybe my freshman year, I didn't quite know what to expect. So sophomore year, I definitely came in a lot more prepared and kind of knew what was coming. But yeah, it's good.
And talk about how you've progressed in the program freshman year, sophomore year to now.
Well, I came in and I didn't know obviously what to expect, kind of what level it was going to be, but came in, and as soon as I got in, I knew if I played how I could, I had a chance.
Right.
And I think freshman year I played in every varsity game.
That's impressive.
So that was really good. I was getting a lot of good game time. I got a few goals, a few assists, so it was really good freshman year. And then this year, sophomore year, quite similar. Like, I was playing, I had a small hamstring injury. I missed 4 or 5 games there. And can I come back towards the end of the season? I scored a couple goals again. So it was good. I mean, annoying that I had to miss a few games, but I've had pretty good playing time.
Now, do you go home at the end of school? Do you go back to Scotland for about 3 or 4 months?
So far, I've gone home every Christmas. I went home Christmas my freshman year, Christmas this year, or just past. And then, yeah, I'm going home actually the day we finish finals, Friday.
Right, good.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to going back, but I get home and then
you're ready.
I miss being here as well. So it's a bit difficult, yeah.
Coach Crawford, you take a grab the mic and talk a little bit about your player here.
Well, so, you know, during the recruiting process, you know, obviously being in Scotland, we've, you know, email, a lot of email and stuff, and then a couple of Zoom calls. And I always like to find out, no matter where they're living, like who they support, you know, professionally. And unfortunately, Lewis is a Celtic supporter. I'm a Rangers supporter, so I didn't think we'd get along as well as we do. But no, he's a great kid. You know, he's the kind of player that every coach kind of wants in their program. He's very passionate about the sport. He's a very good teammate. You know, he'll have his times when he's, you know, a bit grumpy and will yell a bit, but you know, the players know it's just because he wants to win and he wants to compete. But yeah, I mean, overall, he's you know, he's been nothing but good things. You know, he could score a few more goals, but other than that, you know, he's been the kind of player that every coach wants in his program.
Lewis, talk about what your team needs to do to, first off, replace the 14 seniors, mm-hmm. and to get to move up the ladder, so to speak, within the WAC conference.
Yeah, so obviously we're losing a fair number of guys, a few of which were very, very important players. Our goalkeeper, like Drew mentioned, Ricardo, he's moving on, and Gaiska, another Spanish boy, he's been a very, very important player. I played with him the last 2 years, and honestly, I don't even know what playing without him would be like, but we have a lot of potential coming through. Last year, certainly a lot of transfers came in and made a big impact, but yeah, there's a lot of work that we can do. This spring, we've added in some extra workouts, us players that we wanted to kind of add in, do a little bit more, try and do a little bit extra. And even now that we're technically finished with spring season, we're still getting together as groups, sometimes going to run, just trying to keep things going. And we're making sure that everyone comes in the fall ready to go, because there's been times, I think, that some people haven't come in as ready as they could be. And we're trying to make it known that we want to really push up the table next year. And yeah, it's definitely possible with the boys we're bringing in too.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I would imagine makes it somewhat challenging is because you're from so many different parts of the globe, and some of you go home and some of you stay here, the working out together can be a little bit challenging, I would imagine. But do you work out with guys you played with at home when you get in the summer, or do you see many of the guys you played with at home?
Yeah, I mean, when I go home, I'll jump right back into training with my old team.
Okay. Like,
the coaches are really good. Whenever I'm available, or they'll bring me in, and a lot of the guys I used to play with are still there. They'll take me in with open arms and let me train with them whenever I need. And I like kind of getting in the gym too. I'm kind of a smaller, kind of
sure.
shiftier player, so I don't want to put on too much weight. But I have been enjoying the gym recently, and certainly running's a big part for me. I like to run. That's just always been something I've enjoyed.
Okay.
But yeah, I certainly keep myself active during the summer. A lot of golf as well.
I
love golfing.
Yeah, it would be in Scotland.
I would think there's some nice courses there.
Yeah, when I can, I'll sneak my suit in a suitcase when you go home.
There you go.
So, in taking a quick look at your roster, which was kind of last year's roster, which is online, right? I kind of did a quick census, like I do, around 49, 50 kids, 28 internet, about 21, 22 stateside. So, talk about how do you merge different parts of the world, the country, because everybody plays a little differently around. You know, how do you do that, coach, and how do you do it as a player? So
for as a coach, I try to let them express themselves individually on the field. You know, the biggest thing I want them to do is make good decisions. You know, so even though there's a lot of different styles being played, the decisions are still the same ones that are available. And it does take some getting used to. You know, some guys will, you know, play a little quicker than other guys. Some guys will hold the ball a little bit longer because they want to do a little bit more with the ball. And guys just have to, you know, figure it out. Right. But again, at the end of the day, it's the same game, you know, and I think that, you know, we want to be able to possess the ball and keep it and be patient when we have to be, but also be explosive when we can be. And I think that fits into a lot of the players, their style that they played growing up. But there is definitely a distinction between, you know, the international players and the U.S. players and how they grew up playing the game and the style that they want to play. And it can be difficult at times, especially early in the season. But once you get your core 16 or 17 guys on the field, they all start to figure out and understand what we're looking for as a coaching staff, but also what the players around them like and don't like on the field.
Lewis?
Yeah, so coming in, obviously, it was a lot for me. Like, there's people from, like you say, everywhere. And that's one of my favorite things, meeting people from different places, hearing their stories, where they've come from. And I think, like Drew said, there is a bit of a distinction between kind of different kind of ways of playing, what we've been brought up into. And like every team, there's always going to be groups that are with each other more. But I think the most important thing, the last couple of years, maybe sometimes there has been times where we needed to be more together as a team. And I think we've been working on that, like I said, trying to do more kind of team workouts. A lot of the boys work, but trying to just do more things as a team has definitely improved that. And I mean, I've loved the different kind of nationalities, just picking up on different languages, different kind of words here and there. Like, I've really, really enjoyed it.
You know, one of the things over the years in doing this program, and we brought in a combination of your international, and it seems like even our American players enjoy it more because they learn so much. But Lewis, what do you think the teams around the league say? What makes Siena hard to play? What is their strength? What do you think other teams say?
I mean, I've got a couple other guys on other teams that I know, like they're Scottish as well, and I've spoken to them, and they've always said that we have a lot of potential. Like, we have the team there. They know that we have talent, and if we play our game, they know that we're going to compete with them. So they know that we're there, and we have the potential to kind of challenge them.
Okay, good. And at this time, we have our usual spot where we feature an alumnus of Siena Heights, and we have on the phone with us this evening, and I want to make sure I say this correctly, it's Victor Castro?
Yes.
Okay, welcome to Saint Sports Weekly, Victor. I'm John Roberts, one of the co-hosts. I'm here with Coach Fred Smith and Coach Crawford. So welcome and thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, guys. You guys, I hope you guys are having a great night.
We are. It's been good to talk some Saint soccer with Coach and one of his players, Lewis Crombie. And you know, obviously, you being an alumnus of not only Siena Heights but the soccer program as well, you know, always good to talk some Saint soccer.
Yeah, for sure.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. What's when were you at Siena, and you know, talk a little bit about your what happened at Siena, how you got to Siena, and the whole thing.
So I got to Siena August. I transferred there August 2021, if I'm not mistaken. And I played there for 3 years, thanks to Mateus, which was the number 10 at the time. And he invited me to go play with them. And since I have some friends there, so that helped make the move. And but I had 3 amazing years over there. A lot of great people, great players, and the coaching staff as well. It was great. All the teachers also, which helped me graduate, and that I'm very thankful for. And yeah.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Brazil.
Oh, okay.
Santa Maria, Brazil, yeah.
And so you came here as an international player to Siena Heights. Obviously, I'm guessing you have quite a background of playing in Brazil before you came here to America to play.
Yes, I actually do. I actually started playing, well, since I was born technically, because my dad was a futsal player back then. And he would always, like, take me to his games and everything, so I would always be playing. But when I actually started playing soccer in, like, a club, I was 4. And since then, I just developed that love for soccer and started playing for clubs. And when I graduated from high school, I saw the opportunity to take advantage of still play soccer and I'll also graduate, and I decided to. First, I came to the U.S. I went to Nebraska for 3 years, and then COVID hit. We didn't have the season. I saw the opportunity to play with a few of my friends, and I thought that would be a good thing to do. So I transferred to Siena to play with a lot of great friends that I had, that I made in Brazil while playing there with them. And that's a little bit of my background. If I keep going, I can like spend days talking about it.
That's all right. Hey, you're the star today. So we have it seems like a strong Brazilian group in Siena Soccer.
We do. So
when you came to Siena, and you had been obviously at another school, it sounds like in Nebraska for a little bit. Well, how was the adjustment, and what did you like about Siena that made it a good experience for you?
I feel like one thing that at first that caught my attention was the facilities and everything, like stadium, locker rooms, the medical department and everything. That was one thing that really like caught my eye, that I wanted to experience that. And also like playing in a different league with different teams and like I would say ranked teams, which was a challenge. And that was one thing that really like made me want to go. And also like the education was like something that caught my attention, because I felt like that at Siena you really can like you open like doors for you if you actually have like a personal interact with professors and coaches. Like you actually have like a, you know, conversations with them. They will actually help you a lot, not just like telling you stuff, but sometimes even helping you find places to go for either jobs or play. So I feel like that the community was something very helpful too.
So what did you study when you were at Siena, Vidar?
I did sports management.
Gotcha. And you just, it sounds like you just graduated in 23 last year?
Yes, I just graduated. I'm waiting to walk right now in May.
Gotcha. Good. And what are your plans? I mean, in terms of pursuing, you got anything in mind?
I have a few things that I would like to pursue. Either work. I really want to work with something related to sports. It doesn't really need to be soccer, but if it is, it would be my preference. But if it doesn't happen, I wouldn't be like sad about it. But working with sports, either in a club or in a sports facility, would be something that I would like to pursue in this next few years.
What position, when you came to Siena, what position did you play?
I used to play as a center forward and a winger, mostly center forward, but my first year I played as a winger on left and right.
So when you came in, did you play on the varsity right away?
Yes.
Hey, Coach, talk about your alum here a little bit.
When Vitor, like he said, the great thing, you know, we talk about recruiting services and all that stuff. You know, his friends recruited him to Siena, which was great. And he came in. He's one of those guys. He's a very fiery, very passionate player. You know, wears his heart on his sleeve. Just always wants to win. Very hard worker. Can get a little carried away at times, and he knows what I'm talking about on the field. Always because he cared, and always because he was working hard, and you know, he was a good teammate. I mean, Lewis can probably speak to that a little bit better than me, but you know, he seemed to get along with everybody. you know, just again, just a hard worker, just again, one of those forwards that, you know, I wish he could have scored a few more goals for us, but that seems to be the case with our forwards. And, you know, Lewis will change that next year. But yeah, I mean, just a great guy, you know, very, you know, off the field, just a super nice guy, very polite and just a mild-mannered guy off the field for sure.
And now it's your turn, Vitor. Talk a little bit about Coach and some of the – he's covering his ears here, but and talk about some of the coaching you received and what you enjoyed about playing soccer here at Siena Heights.
Well, first, I don't have anything complain. I have one thing. I wish you would yell at the players a little bit more instead of the ref, but that's okay. He was a great great coach, and also he would always, whenever we would go to his office to talk with him, he would always like give us feedback. I can talk bad about myself. I would like always like to communicate and talk and like ask a lot of questions to like see how things are going and what needs to be changed. And like you said, I'm very passionate about the game and I always want to win. So it's very frustrating when you lose. That was one the reason why he probably said that, but it happens.
Well, I remember Coach when he played. He was pretty fiery too. So,
I think I reminded him a little bit when he was a player. I feel like
the cards maybe, but not the goals.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Yeah. What advice would you give a young international player about coming to Siena? What would you tell them what they should expect, and what are some of the roadblocks that they, you know, have to, you know, hurdle to make their experience successful?
I feel like first focus on for internationals and on the English. Like, it's very important to have English as a second language, and if you can, try to get like learn as many languages as possible, and focus on like the grind and always like keeping your body healthy, studying, always like keeping the mind healthy as well. And I feel like the most important thing would be communicating in between like teammates, and to like create a good environment as well, and just like so everybody are friends with each other, and you know, you can have that community and like that family feeling. So I feel like that's one thing that sometimes we internationals can feel like a little bit off to the side, but whenever we just try to be ourselves and be friendly, I feel like that helps feel more at home, I would say. So, and also focus on the classes, because it's very important. If you want to play, you got to study.
So how was your English when you came to America? Was your were you very proficient in English when you got here?
Yes. So when I first got here, I was, I could say fluent, and which helped me a lot in classes. To like, I didn't need to learn like English. I went straight to classes, so which helped me to like take a few bigger steps in like college-wise in classes. So that was one thing that I really appreciated to have done before coming here.
All right, my last question would be, what do the Saints have to do to step up and to try to get in the top four or five in the WAC conference?
Score more goals. I feel like we have like players, we have the team, and I just feel like we got to finish. That's all, because we know the potential we got, so we just got to finish the job.
All right. Well, thank you, Victor, for joining us, and we appreciate you coming on and talking about Siena Heights and your experiences there.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys having me.
All right.
Look forward to seeing your graduation.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Victor Castro, the Saints alumni soccer player. And we are just about out of time here, and just want to say thanks to Coach Crawford and Lewis Crombie for joining us from the men's soccer team. It was great talking with you guys.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep, and want to wish you, you got a little break here now, but obviously when things pick up back in August, best of luck, and we look forward to talking about Saints men's soccer here on The Cave each day. So the SID over there does a great job of sending along scores and results and all the stats, and we like to talk about it in the morning. So, all right, that is our show for this evening, and thank you for tuning in. For Coach Fred Smith, I'm John Roberts, and this has been another edition of Saints Sports Weekly.